A lot of scripture to share with you this morning. Last week, we began a look at the move of God, at the river of God. And I hope that, like me, you're excited to see God move in this hour. I want to see God move. I want to see God do something fresh. I don't want to just keep pointing back to history for the great moves of God. I want to see God do something today. Please, someone say amen with me. I want to see God and what He wants to do. And I know we're hurtling toward what seems to be the last days, the last hours, and climactic confusion and problems and turmoil in the streets and economics and everything else. Folks, there's only one person to turn to that has the way, the truth, and the life. And say His name with me, please. Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And we need a fresh 21st century move of God. We need the river of God to flow. This message this morning is the River of God Part 2. And I want to talk about the waters of cleansing. The waters of cleansing. We talked last week about millions of people who are digitally connected. And they love their digital space first, and face-to-face time has very little importance to some nowadays. We talked about televisions, and 99% of the American homes have TVs. That's not a big thing. You're not surprised by that. But 66% of the homes in America have at least three TVs. And the vast majority of those TVs are on during dinner time, which then results in an average family quality time conversation. Average family quality time conversation of 3.5 minutes per week. You might think I would say per day, but it's per week. May I ask you a question? Can someone please explain to me how the fulfillment of the word will take place which says, train up a child in the way he should go in 3.5 minutes a week? There are billions of voices crying out for your hearing as well as for mine. The community, the church in the community, used to be voices of authority that people wanted to be listening to. Now, it's a less desired community or a commodity than ever. We need, church, the move of God. Amen. Church, we need the river of God. Yes. We need the Spirit of God to move. And I think one of the most disheartening statements was the result of the George Barna survey, which says 9 out of 10 who call themselves Christians have no distinction in lifestyle and living as compared to non-believers. 9 out of 10 who call themselves Christians live no differently than unbelievers. I said 9 out of 10 who call themselves Christians live no differently than unbelievers. Church, how are we going to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven with those kind of dismal statistics? But our God is not a God of statistics. Our God is alive and well. And we need to be not in those statistics. Somebody say amen. Amen. We don't want to find ourselves in the 9 out of 10. We want to be the 1 out of 10 and help become a greater statistic of people living for Jesus. Amen. Now, the very best form of advertising, you all know, what's the very best form of advertising there is? What was that? Say it really loud, buddy. Word of mouth. That's right. That's the very best form of advertising. How many of you realize what even supersedes that in order to make the very best form of advertising effective is the very life we live that broadcasts its message before our words ever get there? Isn't that true? You're looking pained at me this morning, but isn't that true? How many know water is the substance of life? Can't live without it. And sometimes you can't live with it. I'm really still on topic. Hurricane Ike. We heard a lot about Hurricane Katrina. We haven't heard much about Hurricane Ike. Ken's always reminding us about the people who need the food supplies and different things. And I appreciate that burden in our brother. And it's a good reminder to us. There are people all around who are still suffering from Hurricane Ike. I have a particular client who is in Texas right now. I'm expected to be back in this area about a month ago, and Hurricane Ike hit, and still is trying to clean up and recover. At least she has no loss of life involved in her situation. But if you can see this, I worked hard to get this picture available for you this morning because I saw it online. There's an internet story this morning that talks about 300 people gave their last comments of life via cell phone, and they've now disappeared because of Hurricane Ike. They don't know where they are. Their last cell phone conversations, their last crying for help, was the cell phone use of technology, where these people who had dedicated themselves to not leaving, because after all, we made it through 2005, have said, now their last words were, I should have left. I regret not leaving. This is a particular area down there in Texas where the entire area, I know it's hard to see. Maybe we could close those doors, you guys, and they might be able to see it better. Thank you, if you would, please. This entire area is literally wiped out, except this one house. And these people rebuilt their home after the 2005 hurricane. This was built in 2006 to withstand a Category 5 hurricane. And it did. And it's the only one that did. Water. Now, when the river of God pours down on us, we want the only thing to happen is to feed, sustain, and bless us with the sense of His presence. Wash away all sin by the blood of the Lamb and wash it away in the waters of baptism. But we don't want to be destroyed by the river of God. We want to be strengthened by the river of God. How many understand the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? How many would rather bow willingly? He said with a smile, I would rather bow willingly. The Bible declares every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. We have good news to preach. We have life to preach about. We have Jesus to bring to people. But heaven and hell are real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. And God's heart is that no one go to hell. And we have a job to do, don't we? Come on, I said, church, we have a job to do, don't we? We got people to help. Water rushes in and 110-mile-an-hour winds and these houses break like twigs and like toothpicks and cars are slammed around and people's bodies are picked up off of their second-floor porches, carried blocks away where they found them amidst the refrigerators, television, and debris. Interesting, but tragic. So, what do you do? What's it all about? We need the river of God. And the river of God brings life. We've got, in our spiritual lives, revival and capacity for revival. Let's look at the scriptures, Pat, if we'll go to it. The river of God brings healing and life. Say healing,
healing.
And life. The river of God brings healing and life. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. I want to read the first five verses, and you can turn in your own scriptures. Revelation chapter 22. I'm reading from the New King James, and I'll have some other translations to use this morning and some other verses and quite a bit of scripture to use. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the what? The tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. Always fruit-bearing, always giving forth its fruit. The leaves of the tree were for the what?
Healing
of the nations. So there's healing, there's sustenance, there's strength, there's fruitfulness, there's life that comes. And verse 3, and there shall be, say it with me, no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. Verse 4. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They shall need no lamp, nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Folks, this river is going to flow for eternity. The river of God will flow for eternity. The river and the water of life. Now, the word river here is the Greek potamos. Potamos. Say potamos. And it means a current, a brook, a fresh net, running water. Life is the Greek word zoe, or zoe. the supernatural, supercharged, super energetic, powerful life of God Himself. The river, the flowing of the presence of God. The literal river of God is His divine presence and life. How many like God's presence in your life? I think it's better felt than telt. You know, I like to know the sense of God's presence in my life. That doesn't mean He's not there when I don't feel Him near. But I love to sense and understand He's right here. And He is. Where does Jesus live this morning? If you've surrendered your life to Him, where does He live? Amen. He's right here. He's right here. The river of God flows in you and flows through you. Interesting, that Greek word, patamos, is an awful lot like another river we know about that's supposed to bring life, a Potomac River. The Greek word that leads to another word that flows through Washington, D.C. Interesting, it's supposed to bring life. How many are thankful? No, doesn't get that much life, right? Okay. Potomac River, the nation's river. Just a couple of thoughts about it, and that's just kind of an aside. Through the Potomac River flow 7 billion gallons of water every day. Out of just metropolitan Washington, D.C., 487 million gallons of water is used every day. And 391 million gallons of that water is taken from the Potomac River. Without water, without the river, without the supply of water, how long do you last without water? That's why water really is the oil. If oil runs out and we lose all other resources, you know, you can't live without water. How many know you could live without your car? Not very many hands. Now, let me preach it to you. You can live without your car. Not too easy, but you can live without your car. Not my car. I can't live without my car. Without the river, without the water supply, no life exists. Without God's river, no true life exists. We need God's river. Lord Jesus, pour out your next revival. Pour out the spirit of awakening and pour out the revival, the move of God, the river of God that flows in and out of every community. Port Ludlow needs it. Port Hadlock needs it. Port Townsend needs it. Port Gamble needs it. All of this region, our whole nation and the world. And the Bible declares He will fill this earth with His glory as the what? Waters cover the sea. It's His promise. Now, the river of God brings cleansing. The river of God brings cleansing. In order for us to receive the move of God, we've got to allow Him first to move in us. He's got to bring the waters of cleansing to our lives first. Oh, thanks a lot, Kev. Another one of those joyful messages. We've got to have Him move in us first. The waters of cleansing. Remember last week we talked about J.I. Packer's marks of characteristics of revival. They included awareness of God's presence, responsiveness to God's word, and number 3, a sensitiveness to sin. The moving of God, the cleansing of God, the river of God makes us more sensitive as the Holy Spirit quickens sin in our lives. Now, how many in this room have ever sinned? I know Elaine hasn't, but the rest of you. You can put your hand down, I know. Cease tells me all the time I'm living with a non-sinner. No, okay. I think she turned as red as her hair. What do you think? Okay. How many understand that we need God in our lives? Now, come on, if you look at me and you say, yeah, I had to repent once about 15 years ago, haven't needed it since, I'm going to check your pulse. Okay? We need God, how about every day? Amen. We need Jesus. We need Him. We need the river of God. And come on, how many can be honest with me? The Holy Spirit convicts you. I said the Holy Spirit brings conviction. I don't have to lay it on you. You know, the Holy Spirit, you're sitting there going, yeah. You know, I don't know what you did before church, but you do. I don't know what you said to each other, but you do. And you're like, hey, I was great. You know, I was just fine to my dog, no sin there. I didn't have to relate to another human being. But listen, we're people who need the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit is going to keep moving on us and quickening us and changing us. And He uses the river of life, the water, the river, the anointing to come and clean us up. If we want to see the move of God, if we want the river of God in our lives, how many can say amen? We need the holiness of God. We need the holiness of God. We need to be sensitive to sin. And church, we need to see sin like God sees it. Sometimes, you know, I'm kind of casual about my own sin. I'm not too casual about yours, but light about mine. Isn't that how it normally goes? Boy, you're really doing something rotten while I forget all about what I'm doing. No, we need to see sin the way Jesus sees it. He died for it. It's bad enough that He had to go to a cross. Thank God He rose again. Thank God He knows how to change us and help us. But He still sees something that needs to be dealt with. The Scriptures, Hebrews 12, verse 14. Pursue holiness, without which no one, how many?
No one
will see the Lord. 1 John 3, verse 2. We know that when He is revealed, we shall be, what? Like Him. Like who? Like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. 1 John 3, verse 6. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. What? What's that? Let's go on. We'll come back to that. 1 John 3, verses 9 and 10. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. I'm sorry. Say that one with me. Preach it. Whoever is born of God That kind of trailed off there at the end, didn't it? He cannot sin because he's been born of God. Wait a minute. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Now, in the King James, you find the little ETH at the end of these words. Sinneth. Sins and keeps on sinning. Keep on sinning. Doing the works of wickedness and keeps on doing the works of wickedness. What does all this mean? The Bible is written to Christians. If you sin and if you confess your sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. If you confess your sin, He is faithful to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Wait a minute, aren't those in the Bible? Of course they are. What's the point? The point is, a surrendered, loving Jesus, saved Christian, redeemed by His grace, you don't make your habitual practice a lifestyle of sin. You don't sin and keep on sinning. If you get yourself into something, number one, you don't have an expectancy to sin. That's huge. I said what? You don't have an expectancy to go sin. How many understand Jesus does not make you go sin? Preach it, Pastor Kev. Jesus doesn't make me go sin. We sin when we choose, when we're enticed to the lusts of our flesh. We do things that we choose to do. But there is a brokenness that comes into our spirits as we turn in repentance. Pray that God convicts us and we're sensitive enough to the conviction to hear that conviction before we go that way. Because our life is to be a life of continuing to change to be more like Him. Isn't that true? That's true, isn't it? Somebody say amen. You're with me? Okay. I don't make a habit and a lifestyle of choosing to go sin. I want to keep changing to be more like Him. Now, what the Apostle John was dealing with, if you recall, he's one of the only ones who uses the word antichrists. It's not just the Antichrist in the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, but it's the Antichrist he speaks of in these 1 John and 2 John and 3 John. And there was this ungodly, wicked teaching, the Gnosticism, that was saying, well, you know, what you do in the body is evil, but the spirit is good. So you can sin and keep on sinning and be fine with God. And John is saying, whoa, that's not godly truth. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus changes your life. You don't make it your habit to go sin. If you need forgiveness, which we all do, you come to Christ and receive that forgiveness. But your lifestyle, your habit, your perspective of life isn't to keep on sinning, habitually sinning. All right? I'm laboring a point, but it's foundational in our understanding. Okay? Pursue holiness. Don't keep sinning. John says, if you belong to Jesus, you're His. His river has cleansed you. You don't keep habitually giving yourself over to it. All right. So what does Jesus put in you then? He puts in you a heart that wants to please Him. He puts in us a heart that wants to do His will. He puts in us a heart that wants His river, that wants His presence. Come on, church, when I talk about the river of God, the move of God, and a revival breaking out, doesn't something quicken in your heart? Doesn't something rise up inside and say, Lord, yeah, do it, do it. Now, I'm not sure what it's going to be like. If we have revival meetings every night, I'm going to be real tired. I don't usually go there. What I want is the presence of God. And to see Him move and people ministered to, healed, delivered, saved, and to see our lives continue to change and grow. And I believe every Bible-believing church should be packed to overflowing. Someone say amen. Do it, Lord. Ezekiel 47, 1 through 8 describes the river that flows from the temple of God. And I'm going to start in verse 3. The water came up to my ankles. We sang about it this morning. Again, He measured 1,000 and He brought me to the waters. The water came up to my where? And again, He measured 1,000, brought me through, and the water came up to my... Again, He measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim. A river that could not be crossed. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? He brought and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I turned there, along the bank of the river, there were very many trees on one side and on the other. And He said, look at this. The water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are... We're talking about the Dead Sea here. And when the life-giving waters of the Spirit come to the sea, it's going to come alive. It's the promise of God. Verse 9, read it with me. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will...
Live.
What?
Live.
Live. Will what?
Live.
Where the river of God goes, there's life, there's healing, and there's provision. Now let's talk for a moment about the revival cycle and the tabernacle of David. In Graham Truscott's book, The Power of His Presence, he outlines a perspective. And what I want to do, Pat, is just kind of, if you can, just do this a step at a time here. And the first stage of revival, and this is true throughout the ages in restoration revivals where the Spirit of God has moved, the first step of revival is a fresh move of God for cleansing. Cleansing. The people of God meet with God. The Bible says judgment begins first at the house of God, where He changes us, moves us, cleanses us. Now, Mount Zion in the Scriptures refers to the people of God. It refers to that place of anointing. And Zion in the Bible was David's habitation. The tabernacle of David was at Mount Zion. 2 Samuel 5, verse 7, and back there for a moment. Thank you. Yay, Pat. Fantastic, Pat. You're great. All right, 2 Samuel 5, verse 7, David took the stronghold of what? Zion. The same is the city of David. So there's Jerusalem, but then there's this special place that David loved called Zion. And Zion is referring throughout the Scriptures also spiritually to the people of God. Psalm 87, 2 and 3, the Lord loves the gates of Zion. More than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. Isaiah 51, verse 16. I put my words in your mouth. I who say to Zion, you are my people. God loves Zion. God loves His people. God wants to live in the midst of the praises of a people who love to praise Him. Hebrews 12, verse 22. But you are come to Mount Zion. So before the ark of God, in David's day, could come to this tent or this tabernacle he pitched for it, there was an instruction. And the instruction is this, 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12. And David said to them, read it out loud with me, these two words, would you please? Sanctify yourselves, both you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. All right, let's talk about the history here for a moment. Just a quick synopsis. The ark of the testimony, the ark that represented the presence of God. Remember, throughout the Old Testament, they carried the ark with them, and the ark represented God's presence in their midst. And the tabernacle of Moses would wander, they would wander through the wilderness, and the ark would go with them, and the priests would carry this ark on their shoulders. And so then they get Jerusalem, and they come into this nation, and so you pitch the tent or the tabernacle of Moses over in Gibeon, about 8 miles away from where David is. And David's got this place called Zion, and David longs for the presence of God. David loves the presence of God. David worships God and builds instruments just so he can play before the Lord and sing. And the Bible says David wanted to bring the ark of God into the tabernacle of David, the tent he had created. So what does he do? He goes and he builds these fancy carts, and he gets these oxen to build the way. This is probably some of the fanciest carts you've ever seen. Four on the floor, dual carbs, headers, you know, I mean everything. This probably was the fanciest cart you ever did see in your life. Polished, and you got flames on the side, you know. It's that kind of thing. And this is just, you know, 15 layers of candy apple red, right? You know. And so then he takes this cart, and they're going to go get the ark. And he's got instruments, and he's got priests, and they're going to worship, and they got a great time planned. Man, this is going to be a big doing. This is really going to be cool. I mean, how many like to have a party? Come on, how many like parties? Okay, a few of you don't. The rest of you, come on over to my house, 2 o'clock, 7. No, good. Not really. But I love parties. You know, you just love parties. I can see y'all showing up. Excuse me? We brought your cart. Anyway, he's going to go and he's going to get the ark, and he wants to bring the presence of God. His heart's beating for God. His heart is fervent for God. And this is a man who loves God. Remember, David was the man after God's own heart. I want God. I love God. I need God. I need you in my life. Okay, let's go get the ark. And so he gets the ark on the cart, and man, they're worshiping, and there's songs, and there's instruments. And I mean, any observer, you've got to look on, you've got to go saying, they're having themselves a time. If anything was revival, isn't this it? All of a sudden, there's a bump in the road. And the cart begins to wobble, and the ark starts to wobble. And this well-meaning servant named Uzzah says, well, you can't have the ark of God fall into the ground. And he puts his hand up to straighten up God. And the Lord took his life. And David's a very angry man. Wait a minute. I spent a lot of money on this. Have my best carts. One of my best men. And after all, I wanted you. Have you ever been angry at God for not coming through the way you wanted Him to come through? Ouch. I mean anybody besides me. So David says, huh, you ain't coming home to my house. A little anger. A lot of fear. So what happens? The ark of God is set aside in the house of Obed-Edom. Say it with me, just because it's fun to say it. Obed-Edom. Turn to each other and say, are you Obed-Edom? Are you is or is you ain't Obed-Edom? The house of God becomes Obed-Edom's house. Obed-Edom's house becomes the house of God. And the Bible tells us the ark is in this guy's house, and this man is blessed. His kids are blessed. His provision's blessed. He's got the ark in his house. God's there. When God's there, you have the blessing of God at your house. Church, it doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are. It has nothing to do with your status and your clothes. It has nothing to do with anything besides having the presence of God in your life. His kids are blessed. David's, you know, you can imagine over the next few months after this incident, David's sitting in his house going, you can just imagine, can't you? You know, I planned this big deal for you. And you didn't come through. You ever plan a big party? Nobody showed up? Well, in this case, God didn't show up. So after a while, the anger subsides. And then can you imagine the reports? Hey, you hear about Obi? Man, Obi and his kids? Wow, they won the lottery. Did you hear about the blessing of God going on over there? Can you imagine what David's feeling? And then it goes on maybe another day or two, and David's going, excuse me? What's going on over there? God's moving, David. You got God in your tent, Dave? No, he's over in Obed-Edom's house. And it begins to work inside of David. And David says, after a while, conviction sets in long enough, and you stop long enough, and you say, it ain't the teacher, it ain't the preacher, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I blew it. And he seeks the Lord, and he goes to the Scriptures, and he sees how the Ark of God is to be brought back home, to be carried on the shoulders of God's priests. Now, in the New Testament, the Bible calls us believer priests before the Lord. And every one of us is not to put God on some fancy program, but to carry Him right here in our hearts and right here in our lives. Every one of us, when we come to God, when we come to church, we bring God with us. It's not just going to church to see a performance. You're bringing God with you. And we come together and you've got God and Dean's got God and somebody else has God. We all come together, and when two or three are gathered in my midst and they're all bringing the Ark of God, we got an explosive time in God's house because the river of God is moving and people are alive in the Lord. Oh, church. When you get ready to come to church, you don't just go to a meeting and hear a little preaching. You say, oh God, I long for your presence. I'm in your word. I've got life, and I'm going to go share it with somebody today. And I've got some encouragement to give Pastor Carl, and I've got something to say to Royal because he needs this word. Jesus loves you, Royal. And you too, Sue. But just, you're seeking God, and you're alive in the Spirit. Come on. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. David goes, let's do it right this time, gang. No new ark, no 16 layers of candy apple red, no flames on the side, just a burning fire in his heart. He got his musical instruments and his priesthood, and he goes, knocks on Obed-Edom's door, says, excuse me, appreciate that you're blessed, but that's my ark. They pick it up and they put it on their shoulders and they sacrifice and they sing and they worship. Now, they bring this ark to this tent where it's open and the people of God can sing around it and worship God 24 hours a day. It's not tucked away in a holy of holies where you can only go in once a year. The ark's right there. And he sets up, and David sets up singers and 24-hour-a-day choirs and worship, and you're right there in the house of God with God. What happened when Jesus resurrected from the dead? The veil was torn from the top to the bottom. David has this New Testament revelation where he says, I love God and I want to be with Him. And I'm not going to let some veil get in between me and Jesus. I'm going to be with Him. Amen?
Amen?
New Testament. Then you come. Is it any wonder then you come to Acts chapter 15 and the promise from Amos being quoted is, I'm going to restore the tabernacle of David. Acts chapter 15 is profound. I'm not going to restore the tabernacle of Moses. That was good in its day. Praise God. I'm going to restore, God says, the tabernacle of David. Because I want to be in a group of people who want me. I want to be with a group of people who are just so crazy about me. They're going to worship me and love me and adore me. And Michael saw David dancing before the Lord and despised him in her own heart and was barren from that day forward as she attacked the move of God. But David said, I'm going to worship and keep on worshiping. I'm going to love Him and keep on loving Him. I'm going to adore Him and keep on adoring Him. And God says, hey, that's where I want to live. In the midst of the praises of my people. Sanctify yourselves then. Psalm 24, 3 through 5. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who's not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Obadiah 1:17. But on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. There shall be, say it with me, holiness. Ephesians 5:25-27. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. What kind of church?
Glorious.
Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That should be holy and without blemish. We look for a city which has foundations, Abraham did, whose builder and maker is God. We see a church, a glorious church, without spot, without wrinkle, not yielding to the sin that's so common. We set aside the sin that so easily besets. And you've got a church full of life and a church without division and a church where people love Jesus together and a church where people look at each other and say, come on, let's keep growing. You can do it. You can make it. I know you can. I'm cheering for you, brother. As you go through this terrible time, sister, I'm standing with you. Don't give up. Don't walk away. Let's see God move. A glorious church. Acts 15:16. I'm sorry, I'm skipping around a little too much there. Revelation 19, verse 7. Sorry, Pat. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has, read it with me, made herself ready. That Greek word is hetomazo. Hetomazo. It literally means a preparation works going on in her life. She's making herself ready every day as we respond to Jesus and to the Spirit of God, the river of God that flows with conviction and cleanses. We're making ourselves ready. Do you want Him to move? Do you want His river, church? Do you want to be part of Zion, the restoration of the tabernacle of David? Acts 15, verse 16, after this, I will return. And will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I'll rebuild its ruins. I'll set it up. It's a different spirit than the spirit of our age. You know the spirit of our age, don't you? Eat, drink, and be merry. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God calls us in Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily. And follow me. Well, that'll pack the church out. There's good, solid, fun preaching. Here we are again. What'll pack the church out is watching people respond to a Lord who loves His people and to a people who love their Lord. I love Him because He first loved me and I've been forgiven and I'm set free. Listen, a church that has the real deal is what people are actually looking for. Things in the world are getting worse and worse. The Bible says, let the darkness become darker still and the light become lighter still. There's a difference. It doesn't mean you're snooty or snotty or snobby. That's not what it is. It just means you're forgiven and you're not ashamed to say it. Are you better than me? Well, I'm forgiven. How about you? Come to my Jesus, who loves you so much. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now, God's doing something very supernaturally. There's a timetable in the Holy Spirit. There's a timetable. You watch history's timeline unfolds. And 48, one of the powerful moves of God that took place, the latter rain movement, the same time as Israel, was restored in a day, according to the scriptures. The 67 war took place, supernatural deliverance for the little nation of Israel. But at the same time, the charismatic movement, an explosion that went around the world. God is moving, and He is stirring up His people. And there are churches that, I can tell you about a church in Wenatchee right now, that they have a youth group of 300 to 400 people, and they have these Rivers of God meetings every day. I didn't get this title from that. I was just told about this yesterday. These Rivers of God meetings every day where they're praying and crying out in a real way, God, move. Move through the Wenatchee Valley. Move through here. And we're saying the same thing, aren't we? We don't have to be 400 youth to say that. But God, save the youth and save the families. Save the retirees and save people and move by your Spirit. And not just save them, fill them with your Spirit and let us be your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Oh God, we cry out, move by your Spirit, we pray. God, do something. But timetable. This cry is in our hearts. Right at the same time as right now, I don't know if you're aware of it, in the feasts and the timetables in the Lord. Right now, the last part of September, right through here, this first part of October, Rosh Hashanah takes place. And Rosh Hashanah is the Feast of Trumpets in the Bible, where the shofar is blown and people gather to seek the Lord. And then it's called 10 days of awe take place as these people seek the presence of God. And the emphasis is on repentance and getting right with God. Now, the Israelis don't have a temple anymore. It was destroyed in 70 AD. They can't do blood sacrifice like they used to do. They don't realize, and their eyes haven't been opened, and they need to be, but we can realize that there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, because Jesus poured His blood out for you and for me, and He's the final sacrifice. And we have assurance of forgiveness once we've repented in Christ. So we need to pray that there is that restoration revival that takes place. But 10 days of awe, completed by Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, where the people of God stand in His presence and get right. Church, God is calling us to get right. If there's sin in your life this morning, you know about it. I don't know about it. God's calling to you. Get right. Turn from it. The devil has nothing good in mind for you. Whether it's attitudinal, whether it's bondage, habitual. If you need prayer, come get prayer, and we will join in prayer with you and break the bondage of the enemy and the yoke on your life so you are set free in the Spirit of God. God is moving. And as for me and my house, I want us involved in the move of God. Church, how many want to be disqualified from the move of God just because you wouldn't respond to Him? Good, not a show of hands. How many want to be involved in the move of God? That means you've got to let the move of God move in you. Because this little paragraph, or this little diagram, we'll go back to that, Pat. If you want to see how it starts, the habitual, through the ages, the revivals of God begins with cleansing. And then it moves into restoration, the restoring power, the move of God as He's restoring people, restoring lives, restoring truth and understanding in our hearts. And it moves from restoration, God's presence and moving in our lives, into revival. So there's the restoration of worship and the restoration of understanding, and then we experience the revival of God. And from there, it goes in the final step into the harvest of souls. God is moving, and God has something He wants to do. It begins with you and me. What do you do? Number one, cooperate with Him. What do? Cooperate with Him. The Holy Spirit's convicting you this morning. He didn't bring conviction to your life to condemn you and send you out of here down. He brought conviction to your life, or is bringing it, so you can repent. Repentance simply means you acknowledge your sin, turn around, and go the other way. Ask Him to forgive you. If you aren't having the Spirit of God convict you, pray that God will move in your life in a fresh way, that the Holy Spirit will change you to be more like Jesus. Remember, He's here to help. Repentance, receive His forgiveness, and go forward with fresh joy, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And then what do? You let the river flow. Let's stand. The river of God brings the waters of cleansing, O River of God, give thee. Jesus, this morning we come to you as a people who love you and who adore you. We confess our need for you. And Lord, we thank you that you move first in our lives in order to move through us to reach other people for you. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would have your way in our lives today. We thank you for your Spirit, your grace, your might, and your move. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. Worship team, would you come back up? And Elaine, we'll go to O River of God as we close. If you're here this morning and you've never had the Holy Spirit move on your life, I urge you to come for prayer and allow Him to do so. We'll be honored to pray for you. If you're here and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, come do so today. We'll pray for you. It'll be a joy. If you need anything else, prayer for maybe forgiveness or deliverance from something, we'll be honored to pray for you. Take time. Take time to meet with the Lord. And then take time to fellowship, enjoy Him. And when you go out from this place today, go out with a spirit of rejoicing.